You'll take your Bibles and go to Psalm 119 today, please. I want to look at the topic today of a lamp unto my feet. Psalm 119. I'm sure you all know this verse. In verse 105 in Psalm 119, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The verse says that the word of God is a lamp and it's a light unto our paths. If you think of the idea of a path and your feet walking down a path, like if you were standing right in the middle of the, you know, I'll go back to our bird watching movie last time. If you're up on top of some mountain looking for a rare bird, and you see a path and it's late at night, if you had a lamp and you shine the lamp on your path but yet never moved your feet, you wouldn't even need the lamp, would you? Right? If I was just content on staying in that path and never moving anywhere, then I wouldn't need a lamp. So the lamp implies the light, so the path implies movement. The word is a lamp and a light to our paths as we move, right? It's not just knowing the word of God, right? It's not just knowledge that we want, but we want to have the word as something that we use to lighten our path along which we walk, right? It's something that we actively act upon to produce the results the word of God says. It's nice knowing it. Yeah, it's one thing. You certainly couldn't act on it until you know it. But once you know it, it's that light and that lamp to where something guides us when we actually walk down that path. Right? In Psalm 12, to take Grace's comments at the beginning of the fellowship. If I know speaking in tongues edifies me, that's knowledge. It's great knowledge. No good if I never actually speak in tongues, is it? So, nice little light, but if I don't actually walk down that path, I don't get the blessings that God intended. In Psalm 12, verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." And I won't go down the whole, you've heard this verse before. I won't explain all the, I'm not an expert on purifying metal, right? But the word of God is pure. So, the direction that you get, that light that you get in your life, is always correct. Right? Now, I can't say that about guidance from people. Right? No, right? We ask for advice, we ask for counsel. Well, people do the best they can. Sometimes they openly and trick you, right? So, or the news, or books on dieting, right? Or a book, whatever. And there's umpteen sources of counsel and guidance to your life should you want them, right? The difference is this word is pure. It's always correct, right? So if I'm going to take the time to shine that light, I'm going to act on this word, then I can be sure that the source of the information is good, right? Certainly, if the information wasn't good, then it's hit or miss, right? But the word of God is, they're pure words, purified. Right? God has said, this is true. Jesus Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. That word is truth. It's true. It's right. So you don't have to, someone might give you advice. Well, if you only eat, one seeded grape and one unseeded grape every day for the next 6 months, you will be so smart that no one will be able to keep up with you. Well, okay. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Abby's saying, what? That's stupid. Yeah. So yeah, first of all, when you get information like that, you might say, well, first, your first thing is you got to say, okay, is this information right? Right? That's the first thing you got to look at. Is the information correct? Then you go and do it and try to see if it works out. Well, with God's word, you can skip the first part. It's pure. It's correct. Right? It's right. So the information is good. That light is shining in the proper direction. Right? It is good. They're sound words. Right, they're good words. They're the right words. In Psalm 19, Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the hearts. I missed the second part of verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So we've got some interesting words there. Perfect, sure, right. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You see, because it's perfect, it converts the soul. Because it's sure, it makes wise the simple. Because it's right, it rejoices the heart. Right. Because it's pure, it enlightens the eyes. You see how the word is sound, it's sure, it's perfect, it's right. Right. And therefore, the results you get, wisdom, you know, wisdom, rejoicing, enlightenment, direction, all these things, you can get those because the source is good, right? I mean, you know, many say perfect, sure, right, and pure. I've never met a man, right, whose words always match that category. Well, God's always do, right? Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in knowing them there is great reward. No, that's not what it says. What does it say? And in keeping them. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Just knowing it isn't enough, is it? If all I know is the word, I know, that whatever, pick a favorite scripture. You know, I know that if I keep my mind on him, that he'll keep me at peace. Well, it's wonderful to know. When I get into a very unpeaceful situation in my life, I just refuse to take my mind on him. Well, there's no benefit. You know, be anxious for nothing. Always, but with prayer, with thanksgiving, right? We're supposed to go to God and make a request known. Well, when I'm tempted to be anxious. Just knowing that isn't enough. I have to do it. I have to actually say, okay, Father, I'm gonna pray to you. I'm going to think about things I'm going to be thankful for. And I'm going to make my requests known to you. In keeping of them, there is great reward, right? Just knowing it is the first step. And we've already looked at a couple of verses. Well, what we know is pure, sound, right, you know, all these wonderful words God talks about in his word. So the knowledge, the sound, the information is good. Now our part is to keep it. Walk on that word. And back to Psalm 119. Verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk, right? Who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. Right. Down in verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? A young man, how do I make sure my way is pure? How do I keep my way clean? Well, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. You see how it's the acting on it that ends up in the results that God's word promises. You know, sometimes the word is not exciting to us. You know, sometimes you might think, oh, you know, I've read that before. Every time I don't, you know, I'm not really getting excited. I'm not really thrilled about reading this. Well, have you acted on it? Right? The word becomes living and real when we act on it, when we act on that word and put God on the spot, so to speak. You know, Father, you said this, you must do this, right? You said this, you must do this. If God doesn't do what his word says, we've got nothing left. Nothing, right? We might as well go bird watching. My reference to birds. You know, we got nothing left, right? The God's word is sound, right? So we can call God on his word. We can say, you know, if you want the word to be more exciting and living and real to you, act on it. And then call God on his word. Say, God, you said this in your word. You have to do this. Right? And I can, you know, you kids do it to you all the time, right? You said this. You have to do it. Well, call God on his word. In verse 24, it says, thy testimonies are also are my delight and my counselors, right? Counselors. Counsel implies that you wanted, you're getting advice to do something. You know, should I do this? Is this the best direction? Is this a good match for my marriage? Is this all the various questions you might ask in life, right? Well, take heed to the word. Verse 98. Let's go up ahead. You don't get the chance to say 98 very often in the Bible. Verse 98. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy... That's 96. I didn't make that sound of the verse I was supposed to read. Yeah. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. That's interesting. For they are ever with me. Not the enemies, but his commandments, right? I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Well, you want sound, good knowledge, right? That is, you know, over and above anything else you will ever learn from anyone, anywhere, any bar none, right? Keep God's word, right? You want it to be living and real? Act on it. If the word says this, do what the word says, right? And see if God honors his word or not, right? And if he doesn't, right? Well, we've got nothing, right? There's no alternative. But he said, we've just read, they're right, they're pure, they're clean, they're righteous altogether. There's 100 other adjectives or characteristics in the Word of God that describe his Word along the same lines. And in keeping of them, there is great reward, right? Reward. In verse 130. That you certainly never say anywhere else, right? The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. There's that light unto our path again. And in Psalm verse 133, order my steps. Steps, remember? Steps implies walking. It implies action down the path. And here the man says, order my steps in thy word. Right? And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Right? Order my steps. That's just like verse 11. If we'll just jump back to verse 11 quickly. Thy word I have hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Right? Like you might be asked someday in your life, you know, well, if you want to, or told someday, if you want to, you know, really get the most out of God's word and then the holy life, stop sinning, right? And then you'll get the most. Well, God doesn't work that way. God says, put my word on and you'll stop sinning. Right? It's the other way around, right? You see, the action is first. You put the word on. It says in the psalmist wrote, thy word have I hid. In my, he hid the word in his heart that he might not sin against God. He didn't say, I don't sin against you, and as a result, you teach me great things. No, he says, I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity, you know, not anything have dominion over me, right? So the word comes first. You put that word on in your heart and your life. You act on that word, and the results follow. God promises that. It's a great verse in John chapter 1. Now we just looked at a very, very few verses about what God says about his word and all the benefits. There's a great verse in John 1 that adds a little bit more to the great light that you and I have as believers. In John 1:14, it says, and the word was made flesh. And the word was made flesh. Who is God talking about there? Right. Jesus Christ, right? What does God call Jesus Christ? The word. Right. He calls Jesus Christ the word. And the word was made flesh. Right. Jesus Christ was the very incarnation of that word of God. Right. He said, I always do what the Father asks me to do. Right. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I do everything he asks me to do. So when they saw him, he always did God's will. He is called the living word, right? In verse, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Sounds just like the word of God, doesn't it? John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is perfect before me, preferred before me, for he was before me. and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the real opportunity for great grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the living word. Romans chapter 10. See, if Jesus Christ is the living word, right, well, we have even greater understanding of those verses in the Old Testament. Because we just read in Psalms that the word is a lamp unto our feet, right, and a light to our path. Well, the light for you and me today is who? Jesus Christ, right? He is the light. He is the lamp unto your feet more than ever they had in the Old Testament, right? Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and being going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Right? Jesus Christ, because of what he did, made you righteous. You've been judged. God put you on the judgment, you know, booth or whatever they have, and said, you are righteous. That's what God says about you. That's because he judged you in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I don't even judge my own self. Right? The only judgment against you is in... See, you see how that is a great light to lighten your path? Because you don't have to worry about being righteous before God. God doesn't look at you and say, okay, you know, I'm just going to wait for this person to do something wrong. No, he's already judged you in that lamp, which is Jesus Christ. He's already judged you and found you righteous. Now, if that doesn't help me and you walk down the path, if that isn't great light for our lives, right, what could be, you know? I mean, in the Old Testament, that wasn't the case, was it? We just saw real grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. They didn't have all the things that Jesus Christ made available. He was the end of the law. They had to keep the law. Today, here we are, you know, again, just like we're talking about speaking in tongues earlier. We're taking it for granted. I'm righteous, you know. Well, think about what it means to your life. How bad would it be to think, well, I'm not sure if God loves me. I'm not really certain if God loves me, or I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. I'm not sure if I... You don't have to worry about that. God says, righteous. Because not of what you did, right? Not one man, right? Not every person had to be obedient. Only one. This is Romans 5, right? If you remember Romans chapter 5, not by one that sinned. And one kept the word of God, kept the word and became righteous for everybody. Right? It's not because of your obedience. It was because of his obedience. Right? And then you just said, God, thank you for that, and I accept that. And as a result, God says, righteous, 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 righteous for the rest of your life. Right? Well, how big is being righteous for the rest of your life? You know, how big is... You know, I can't even understand how big that is sometimes, because you just accept it now. You know, hopefully we don't walk around every day worrying about, well, you know, is God going to answer my prayer today, or are things really okay, you know, or am I, you know, is he listening to my prayers, or all the stupid things that we can think about, because we think that our actions, you know, the daily actions that we do, whatever harm the work Jesus Christ did, you know, God says righteous. I mean, I can't change. I don't want to change this, right? Romans 10. For righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Certainly the work of Jesus Christ stands par excellence, right, in terms of all the lights and lamps available. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto... There it is again, right? Should live unto righteousness. Not only that, but by his whose stripes ye were healed. And there's a lamp. Now, that is a light, right? You know, you end up injured in your life, or hurt, or sick, or whatever in life. How much of a blessing is it for you day by day to be able to claim that promise, that great light that Jesus Christ's work sheds on our path, right? That by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, you know, I am healed. Dead to sins. Sin will not have any dominion over us. I know it's challenging. I know the pain's there. I know all that, right? But think, if you didn't have this to claim, right? Then you wouldn't have a recourse. Now we have a recourse. Okay, might have the problems, might have the heart shapes, the headaches, or whatever the thing is in life that's bugging us, right? But the promise is there. And we read before, pure, sound, just, righteous altogether, purified. The information is, it's not my information, okay? It's God. It's good. It's sound. You don't have to worry about the information. Our only part now is to walk down the path that is being lit by those promises, right? Is to walk, right? And to accept it, the way Paul said, you know, we know God delivered us, is delivering us, and will yet deliver us, right? You know, you just keep walking. You don't stop because there is no alternative, right? And the information is good. Don't look for new information. The information is good, right? It's sound, right? In 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Yeah, you might as well get that. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Wow, there's light. That certainly wouldn't have been available hadn't Jesus Christ come and done what he did for us, right? What great light is it to know that someday Jesus Christ is coming back? And it says to comfort one another with these words. It's no comfort to know that, you know, oh, as soon as you die, you're going to be up there with him in heaven, right? That's not comforting, right? That's not to mention it's a lie, right? Because the word doesn't say that. It says we're going to be caught up together when the Lord returns, right? When he comes back. You know, that lie is constantly propounded. Every single day you hear something about that that is, you know, and you know as soon as Hollywood embraces something, you can be darn sure it's not in the Bible, right? Right, there's a good check for you, right? You know, so comfort. What kind of comfort? It says in the first part that, you know, we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. And that's where we would be if that light of Jesus Christ hadn't been shed upon us. We would have no hope, right? What kind of great hope it is? You know, worse, you know, sure, someday we will pass away. Should the Lord tarry, right? Someday we'll fall asleep, you know, and it's going to happen. Right? Certainly it says in the Old Testament, it's one event that happens to all, right? And that's the one, unless the Lord comes back, right? And even if that happens, guess what's going to happen? He's coming back. Now, you know, no matter how bad things can get in life, he's still coming back, right? So should that help us in our day-by-day walking in life? That path, you know, you see the light at the end, he's coming back. You know, what great light is that for us? Wow, fantastic. So we can live that way. It's just, you know, just knowing, we're looking at a few verses that talk about the light that Jesus Christ shed, but it's not just, again, knowledge, right? It's in keeping of them there is great reward. So we live that way. We know he's coming back, so we live in light of that he's coming back, right? That's where we bank our life is in eternity, you know? We don't keep our, you know, we got to deal with temporal things, but our heart is not on temporal things, right? It's on the things of eternity. We'll close in Colossians chapter 2. Again, certainly we could read the entire New Testament to see, you know, how the work of Jesus Christ is a great light to our path and a great lamp, you know, to our feet, lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Just looking at a few verses. But you see how much greater that light is for us than even they had in the Old Testament, right? They couldn't claim these promises we're looking at, right? In Colossians 2, verse 6, as we have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so what? Walk. See that? You receive all that he's done. You understand the information, God's exhortation. So when you receive it, right, in keeping of them, there is great reward. So the same truth, you receive it, so walk. Now we walk that way. We don't let somebody tell us, you're not good for anything. Who do you think you are? Right? We don't let people tell us that. We go back to what the Word says. That's how we walk. The Word of God says, as you give, you receive. I want to see blessings. I tithe. I give. We give. Right? That's how you walk on the Word. You act on it. Right? I want to see peace in my life. I let all my requests be made known unto Him. And let His peace, let the peace of Jesus Christ comfort our soul. Right? If I don't do that, then I don't get those blessings. You know, in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, you know, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That is our light now. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. If He triumphed over all the evil principalities and powers, and we're seated with Him, then they can't have access to our lives unless we let them. They can't have access to your life, right? We walk down that path. We don't just know it, say, that's interesting. You know, we walk down, we expect not evil to have no power over us. We don't expect it to, right? Remember in the Old Testament, even Balaam said, there is no enchantment or hex against Israel. They couldn't, he said, I can't curse them. They're blessed. That's what he said. How about us? When the Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, you know, there's no curse, no evil, no principality, no power, nothing that can ever have effect on your life if we stand on God's word. Right? Let no man, verse 16, judge you in meat or in drink. Well, you don't read the Bible enough. You know, you guys eat, drink Coke. I've seen you have a beer, right? You know, you smoke cigarettes, right? Let no man or woman therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day. Well, you guys don't keep Lent. This is Christmas. How come you guys don't celebrate Christmas? Well, you know, all the things, you know, that are out there. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's holy. What are you guys doing? Right? Let no man judge. You don't let anybody. You know, you've already, we just read it. You've already been judged and found righteous. Right? I don't care if you ever read the Bible on a Sunday again for the rest of your life. You are still righteous, right? You can smoke 50 packs of cigarettes today. You might die by the end of the week, but it doesn't matter. You're still righteous, right? It's true, right? And you let the things of life, you know, beer. Well, beer is evil. Yeah, well, getting drunk is stupid. We know that, right? But does it make you unrighteous? No, you're still righteous. You might be righteous drunk, but you're still righteous. You see, all the things that the world is hung up on, you know, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, right? But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what it's saying there. Don't let anybody judge you in those things, right? You know who you are. You know in Christ the light is bright, right? Shining your path. Don't let anybody dim that light with stupid things. like worldly ordinances and days and all these stupid. Don't. Right? The light is so much brighter than that. Right? Or of the new moons, or of the Sabbath days. There it is, right? Which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increased with the increase of God. What a great mind picture compared to all the things. Here's God, Jesus Christ is the head of the body, right? The only one, who is the only one greater than him, right? God. God is here. Jesus Christ is here, right? Seated at God's right hand. He's the head. From the head flows the life of the body through all the members, right? Through you and I. And that is such a greater truth than in, oh, you have a cigarette, right? What the heck does that have to do with any of that? Nothing. It is such great light, right? It dims all the religion and all the garbage of life out of it, right? 20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, not God, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility. You know, they looks holy. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't go dancing. I don't play loud music. Good for you. Do you have any friends? No. And neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You see, people get caught up in that, right? And I've had conversations like that, people. You know, that's their righteousness is based on those things. Well, it's not. And certainly, if you don't smoke, drink, that's fine. You know, it's wonderful. But don't let that ever be your, you know, sense of identity in Christ is those things. It doesn't say that it is, right? Verse chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, which we are, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And it doesn't matter what you do for the rest of your life. You are going to appear with him in glory because he has judged you in Christ and found you righteous, right? That's a light that shines so brightly in our lives. Let no man, woman, evil, devil, spirit talk you out of it, right? You take heed to that light. You continue to go to God's word and call God on the promises you know he has given to us. The information is sound, right, righteous altogether. It's good, it's purified, right? We need never question the information. We just need to now keep it, right? So, my word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? And that glows even brighter with the work of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Welcome.